Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 5. My text has not been going along with the Sunday school lesson, but the themes have. And so this morning we're going to look at the theme of courage. In Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 20, we're going to read a story about Peter and John and how they faced their Jewish high court and what was said. And if you would, stand with me as we read God's Word together. Begin at verse 5, Acts chapter 4. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly descent. When they placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power, in what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. And I pray that in the days ahead, we would be courageous Christians. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Courage. What does it mean to be courageous? A woman and her husband interrupted their vacation to go to the dentist. Woman rushed into the dentist's office. She says, "I want a tooth pulled and I don't want Novocaine because I'm in a big hurry. Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible and we'll be on our way." The dentist was quite impressed. He said, "You certainly are a courageous woman. Which tooth is it that you want pulled?" She turned to her husband and said, "Show him your tooth, dear." It's sometimes really easy to be courageous in behalf of someone else. Somebody just now getting it right. Delayed laughter. We look at Peter and John, and I want you to remember the context of this story. They have gone into the temple, and there they were teaching on a daily basis. They were teaching the people who had come to the temple to pray, but they would probably sit up near the steps, the sidewalk, and just gather a small group around them and begin to teach and preach. But in one particular occasion, they went to the temple, and as they were going by into the opening that goes into the temple area, there was a man who was sitting there, laying there, who had been crippled from birth. He had never walked a day in his life. And he was asking for alms. He would beg people for money. That was the only way he could provide for himself. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man didn't just walk. He did a dance. He did a flip-flops. He caused a commotion because everyone knew this man by sight, by face, that he had been there his entire life collecting alms from those who were gracious to him. And now he is walking for the first time in their life. And there's a huge gathering that gathers around Peter and John as a result of that experience. And they begin to preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again, and 5,000 souls come to Christ. And there's this group in the Jewish religion called the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees are a little bit different than the Pharisees, because the Sadducees only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament as Scripture. First five books. And because there was no explicit teaching of the resurrection in those first five books of the Old Testament, they did not believe in a resurrection, a physical resurrection of the body, physical body. And so when they heard Peter and John preaching that Jesus had been raised from the dead, it upset this group since they don't believe in a resurrection. And so because they had influence among the Jewish leaders and the Jewish elders, they called the court, they convened the court, and they brought Peter and John before the court and warned them not to teach or preach anymore this doctrine of the resurrection, and certainly not to preach or teach about Jesus. And we read the story and the courage of John and Peter and the response to this Jewish Supreme Court that they were brought before. In fact, the Bible tells us in the first few chapters, first few verses, that the doctrine that was being taught by Peter and John were despised by the Pharisees, and they questioned the authority of Peter and John to be teaching, and they asked them to stop doing it. I ask you, what is courage? I heard someone say that courage is the absence of fear. I think there's a lot of courageous people who have fear, and yet they act courageously. You see, courage is not the absence of fear. I think courage is doing the right thing in the very presence of fear. It's knowing the right thing to do and doing it even when you are afraid. Taking a stand on what you know is right. How could Peter and John be so courageous even in the face of the opposition that they faced? I want to give you four suggestions. I hope you can apply these to your own life as well. First of all, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They could be courageous because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were brought in before the rulers, the elders, the scribes. They were gathered together. The high priests were there, and those who were all of high priestly descent, and they were questioned as to their teaching. And verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you. He's been made well in the name of Jesus.' That man that you crucified, who you buried, but has raised himself to life." You see, this is a continuation of the story of Pentecost. Peter and John are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with boldness the message of Jesus Christ. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there is a holy boldness. Every time in the book of Acts you see it discussed about Christians being filled with the Spirit, it always talks about them speaking the Word of God with boldness. They are courageous. It doesn't mean they have no fear. It means they do the right thing in spite of their fear. Jesus had told his disciples, "There's going to come a time as followers of mine that you will be carried into the courts and you will be judged because of what you teach." He said, "Don't you worry about what you're going to say." He said, "I will give you the words to say at the right time." And it seems that's exactly what happened here. Peter and John knew exactly what to say at the right time. And you see their boldness. You hear the tone of their voice. You hear their response to the Sanhedrin. Certainly they were more effective in their work because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As Baptists, sometimes I'm afraid that we fear the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is just God in spirit form. He's not a third of God. He's not some other person other than God. He is God. He is the indwelling God who lives in you, who puts Himself in you at the moment of your salvation, who walks with you, who leads you, who guides you, teaches you. The Bible says He convicts men of sin. He convicts men of righteousness. He convicts men and women of judgment. The Holy Spirit goes with us wherever we go. He is never away from us. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible commands all of us to be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And it's the idea of a continuous filling. It's not just a filling that will take us to the end of time, but it is a day-by-day, moment-by-moment, continuous filling of the Holy Spirit. And as the Baptists, we like to talk about not being drunk with wine, but we don't say much about being filled with the Spirit. And my friends, the focus of that command is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit becomes resident in our life. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He becomes president of our life. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. And when we are filled, He comes to preside over our life, to control us, to fill us. And I think the Lordship of Christ and the filling of the Spirit are two sides of the same coin. It's the same thing. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. Just like if we were drunk with wine, the wine would control us. Now we are being filled with the Spirit so that the Spirit controls us and fills us up and gives us the right things to say, the right things to do at exactly the right time. I shared about our ministry to Lone Star Rally last year. Brother Jeb and I had a chance to go down and share last year. But previous to that, I had gone several times to Sturgis. Sturgis is probably one of the largest motorcycle rallies. Some would say it is the largest in America. Over an 8-day period, there can be as many as 750,000 bikers come through a little town that normally has less than 10,000 people in it on a weekly basis. But they come through and they ride through, and we had a chance to share our faith on many occasions when I went out there. I remember on one occasion in particular, because this couple was from Texas, and I was living in Illinois at the time, and we were working the booth, and we had what we call catchers who would walk the street and send people over to the booth to talk to them about Jesus. And so I was working the other side of the street across the booth, and this couple about my age, they were in their 50s, and they came walking down the street. And I said, hey, have you heard about our booth? We're giving away a free Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Well, why would you do that? Well, we want to illustrate two things. There's some things in life are free. One is that motorcycle over there. The second thing is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to go over there, I'd be glad to talk with you right here. And I began to share my personal testimony, my walk with Christ. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit of God just prompted me. Because you not only talk about what Christ did in your past, you talk about what Christ has done in the present. What Christ has done for you recently. And our daughter had just gone through a miscarriage. And our hearts were broken. But Christ saw us through. And as I began to share that experience, how in that moment of loss, God intervened, and through His Holy Spirit, through His presence, through Jesus walking with us through that moment, we were sustained and comforted and carried forward. As I began to share that, both couples had sunglasses on, and I saw tears begin to stream down their face, and they both took off their glasses, and they walked into a tent with me, and we sat down, and for the next 40 minutes we talked and shared. And I discovered, as the Holy Spirit had prompted me to share, they had just been through that same experience in their own life experience. And it made a connection to us as we talked and shared. Both of those couples in their 50s, for the first time ever, gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. God gives us the right things to say at the very right moment when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can do it with boldness. Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that gave them courage. Not only are they filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think this is the connection First and foremost, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get something else. You get power. Power. Verse 7. They ask, by what power or in what name have you done this? You see, there's definitely a connection between power and being filled with the Holy Spirit. God is not a powerless God. He is an omnipotent God, which means He can do everything. With Jesus, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, he can do anything. He can do anything. You see, Jesus gives us power. When we are filled with His Holy Spirit, we are also filled with power. And Peter and John knew the power of God and was able to heal a man that had been crippled since his infancy. The Sadducees did not like their message, but they could not refute the miraculous power behind the message that had been demonstrated through the message. And Peter and John used that message, that power, to proclaim the message of salvation. I think the most powerful message we can often share with the world of skeptics is a message of a changed life. You see, in Christ, drunkards have been made sober, prostitutes have been made pure, addicts have been made clean, and there's sinners who are made saints. A changed life presents a powerful message. And God did not leave us alone to carry out His great commission. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, and I will be with you. And He proceeds that great commission with this declaration, all authority, all power is mine in heaven and earth. Therefore, go, go, go. We are not left powerless. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us His power to accomplish His task. In our home, we have a dishwasher. I mean the kind you switch on with electricity. And one day Bonnie said, Jay, I think we're going to have to replace the dishwasher. She said, the light's not on, it's not working. I pushed the button, it won't come on. And I said, I'll wash the dishes for you, honey. And I went over and flipped the switch on the counter above the dishwasher. And all the lights came on and the dishwasher started working. You see, there's a switch above the dishwasher that it's there to service the dishwasher. If an electrician comes in and needs to repair the dishwasher, he can turn the switch off right there so that there's no power to that particular dishwasher. And somewhere along the line, Bonnie or myself had turned off the power and the dishwasher didn't work. Listen, we don't work very well without power. Dishwashers don't work very well without power. Hot tubs don't work very well without power. Cars don't work very well without power. You need power to accomplish anything. And as Christians, we don't need our power. We need God's power. And it's just as easy as flipping on a switch. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with power and allow the power of God to flow through our lives to be effective in reaching the lost world. And that requires dedicated and willing vessels. But not only were they filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with power, and I think all of these are the prerequisite of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, something else happens. You have a confidence you didn't have otherwise. Verse 13, look at what it says. These men were filled with confidence. The Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated, untrained men, and they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. You see, these men were not full of confidence because they were smart or highly educated. In fact, the opposite were true. They were not filled with confidence because they had great speech-making skills and the opportunity to use rhetoric. It was not what made them confident. You know what they were confident about? They were confident in the fact that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again because they had seen Him. And they knew their message to be true, and that instilled confidence in their heart. And because of that, they were not going to back down. They had not been trained in debate or rhetoric or philosophy, but they knew one thing. Jesus, their rabbi, had died and been raised back to life. And they were going to share that message. They were not going to give it up. Peter said in verses 8 through 12, listen to his confidence. And these verses 8 through 12, is what Peter said that caused the high court of the Sanhedrin, the rabbi, the Jewish high court, to say, these men have great confidence. Listen to what Peter said. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for the benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. In verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. They are confident of this truth. Peter said, even before Jesus died on the cross, whom will we go? Only you have the words. Only you have the power of eternal life. They were filled with confidence. And that confidence was on the fact that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. You see, when we spend time with Jesus, it will boost our confidence in telling others about Him. When we know what He has done in our life, we can share with confidence what He can do in someone else's life. If we want to have confidence in our life, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with power. We need to be filled with confidence. And that confidence is directly related to spending time with Jesus in His Word and in our walk. Day by day, moment by moment, walking with Jesus, living for Him. I love the hymn, the words of it. Let others see Jesus in you. While passing through this world of sin and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in you. And the refrain goes, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. If you walk with Jesus, you can have confidence that others will see Jesus in you and you can share the old story. Walking with Jesus will give you confidence to witness. There's a fourth truth. It wasn't in the passage that I read, but it is in verse 24. They were filled with praise. They were filled with praise. Now they are dismissed from the high court. Verse 21. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people of God, because they were all glorified God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And when they released these men, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, and they began praising God and saying thanks to Him and glorifying Him and honoring Him. And the next few passages talk about their praise to God. And you know what happens? Verse 31. When they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happens? The process starts all over again. They begin to speak the Word of God with boldness. When you praise God, God inhabits the praises of His people. When you praise God, there is power in His praise. They were told to speak no more in the name of Jesus. But the response is this, verses 19 and 20. Where it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We're not going to be quiet. We're not going to be silent. Their response was simply, we're not going to stop sharing regardless of what you do to us. In verse 21, they were threatened. And they said, you can threaten us. We're going to keep doing what we know is right. We're going to do what we know is right. We're going to stand strong. We're going to be courageous. And they went away praising God for the opportunity to suffer for the cause of Christ. We live in an increasingly secular culture. Our culture does not like the central message of Christianity. They will do all they can to stop us. But we do not need to be bitter or angry at the culture. We just need to praise the Lord and keep doing what we know is right. Just keep telling people about Jesus. Keep talking about Jesus. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of being a Christ follower. Just keep speaking up and speaking out. We do not have to be silent. We should not be silent. We need to have courage. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with power. Being filled with praise. Recently, a school teacher in Katy, Texas, you may have seen this on the news. She came under fire for allegedly telling a seventh grader that God isn't real. It all began when the teacher assigned a quiz asking students to label statements as one of three things. Is this a fact, an assertion, or opinion? Among the statements were this: America is the most free country on earth, and one of the statements is, there is a God. 12-year-old Jordan Woolley, a student at West Memorial Junior High, told the local station, TV station, that she labeled the latter as either a fact or opinion, and she gave some Bible references and her own experience to give to stand behind her statement. What was the response of her teacher? She told me that both were just things that people were doing to get attention. It didn't end there. Jordan's reading teacher told her, "Mick, God isn't real," she said. And Jordan's mother said a kid was literally graded against her faith in God in a classroom. But Jordan stood up for her faith, testified before the school board. The school board has now reprimanded the teacher, and Jordan has taken a stand, a courageous stand, for her commitment in Christ. Listen, we don't need to apologize for saying God is real. Jesus is raised, and we are His followers. We love Him and serve Him. And I don't care what the government tells you you can or can't do. My friends, be courageous. Stand up. Speak out. Speak up. Stand strong. When you're attacked, though, don't become bitter or angry. Just keep praising the Lord. Keep standing for what is right. And love people along the way. Where has our courage gone? I close with this. As Christians, I'm afraid we want convenience without persecution. I see a trend today where Christians often will follow Christ when it's convenient. And when it's inconvenient, they go their own way. They do their own thing. We want power. We want the power of God to do great things, but we don't want to make the sacrifice necessary to have that power. We want blessings. We want the blessings of God, but we want it without obeying His word or following His plan for our life. And we want results. We want the results of God, but we don't want to have to work for it. We just want to ask God to pour it in our lap without doing anything for Him. Isn't it time we get our courage back? We need to be willing to be persecuted for our faith. We need to be willing to sacrifice in order to know His power. We need to understand that obedience is required in order to receive God's richest blessings. And we need to be willing to work until He comes so that we can see God pour out His blessings in such a way that His kingdom is advanced. Lives are changed. I had a dream the other night. It seems so real, Brother Jim. For some reason, our church was meeting outdoors. I don't know why we were meeting outdoors, but we had sort of taped off an area so people wouldn't get too far away. All these chairs were set up, and I remember, Brother Van, you taped it off so they'd sit up close to the preacher. On Sunday nights, we have a smaller crowd. We ask people to sit up inside the second pole there, you know, so that we can be a little closer together. Well, in my dream, we had sort of taped it off, so everybody kept coming in, they'd sit inside the tape, inside of the ribbon in the chairs. And then something happened. People started driving up from all over, and they started bringing their own chairs. And before long, this whole hillside where we were sitting was just filled with people. And instead of a few dozen people, there were literally a few hundred people. And I didn't know where all the people were coming from and just coming. And I stood up to preach. I didn't know what to say. Because here was a bunch of people I'd never known before. And I thought, is this a dream or a vision? Wouldn't it be great? That's the way it was on the day of Pentecost. There's a few dozen people just gathered around listening to Peter and John preach on the steps. And then all of a sudden, God works a miracle. And all of a sudden, thousands of people flock to hear Peter and John and the message they proclaim. And 5,000 people come to Christ in a single moment. Wouldn't you like to see God do it again? He's the same God today He was back then. And I'm afraid we often don't experience what He has for us because we're not willing to do what those disciples did. And it all starts with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today. We pray that You would touch us. Make us courageous Christians to stand strong upon our faith and to speak up and to speak out. And not be willing to back down from the culture that surrounds us. Live for You till You come. May You allow us to advance the cause of Your kingdom. And we would love to see not hundreds, not dozens, but thousands come to Christ here in Pasadena and Deer Park. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.